Good morning to our family house here, and to those online, and to those who will listen to this at a later time. I better take these off so I can see, which doesn't make much sense, but that's the way it works. Today, I've got a short message, and I'm going to build on what I talked about. I want to first go back and what we discussed, or I talked about last week. Has anybody got any questions on that or any thoughts that came to them this week? Be glad to take those if you have anything. And if not, we'll get right into what I have for today. Silence is golden. Okay. So it must have been explained really well, but I'm gonna go over it again a little bit. What I discussed last week was that we all can prophesy, and that the prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit that's in us, that lives in us, and it's very important that we understand that it's not ourselves, but it is a gift that is given to everyone, and that is even those who are false prophets. They can prophesy. And a quick definition of false prophets is somebody who prophesies other than what the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit that is speaking to them. And I'll go into a couple examples of that as I get into my message, but we all can prophesy. We all should prophesy because it gives us the opportunity to share what the Lord is speaking and saying. And he talks to each one of us in a different way. So I want to talk about the words we say, and it's very important. So I titled this message, the word is affirmation. Because if you receive a prophecy, it should be very affirming to you. So you understand what affirmation is. It's a statement asserting the existence or the truth of something. And that's important because it says it is the truth of something. Or it's a judgment by a higher court that the judgment of a lower court was correct and should stand. And I look at that last part of that statement, I look at as we prophesy, God affirms what we say by his Spirit to the person who receives that. And I'll get into that here in a minute too. But it's very important that we first understand that we all prophesy. We all have that opportunity. And we all can hear from God. And I have a book here that I'll recommend to you. And it's called The God Connection. And it's by Bethany Hicks. And it talks about the 12 ways we are hardwired to know the voice of God. And it's a very good book. It will open your eyes to ways you will hear things and try to get you to understand that you are wired to hear from God. You're part of his creation, and that's what he wants. But it's just we don't realize it. We go about our lives and we don't realize exactly all that God wants to say through us. And we think, well, he can say it through somebody because they've been to seminary, or he can say it through somebody who, you know, is older or wiser. Or again, we can, if you want to look at it that way, you know, he spoke through a I'll say donkey, to Balaam, who basically saved Balaam's life when he was going to do something, and he saw an angel of the Lord standing in the way, and he beat his donkey, and it happened a couple of times. And finally, the donkey turned to him and says, "Why are you beating me? Haven't I carried you around all these years and been faithful to you?" And the Lord opened up Balaam's eyes, and he saw that basically the mule was saving his life. And Balaam is one of those examples of somebody who prophesies outside of the Spirit of God. Because if you read in, it's in Numbers, where one of the sections that talks about Balaam, it says he prophesied out of sorcery. And if you understand or have been around long enough, you know that God's not big on sorcery. But Balaam used sorcery, and he paid a price for his disobedience to the Lord. There was also another area where an individual spoke with a different spirit. And the words may have seemed right, but the spirit behind it wasn't right. And that was when Paul had the woman that was following him around saying, you know, these are men of God and they speak the truth, and how you can be, you know, saved and all this. And it sounds good, but the spirit behind it was false. And even today, we have to be careful to understand that we have to know that the words that are given to us, first of the words are proper, but the spirit behind it is proper. I want to read something for you and go through this. And I'm going to John chapter 16. And just cover this with you real quickly. It really spoke to me. And it's John 16, starting with verse 12. And this is Jesus is talking about the work of the Holy Spirit coming and being with the disciples. And if you remember last week, I talked about, you know, the Spirit, before the Holy Spirit was given, would just come and rest on people. It was not a habitation. And this is where Jesus is talking about that the Holy Spirit would come and be a habitation within the believer. And Jesus, I'll pick up in verse 12, it says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can hear now here. But when he, the Spirit of truth," stop right there for a second, the Spirit of truth, that has to do with affirmation. It is what is true. There's spirits that are not true. But he says, this will be a spirit of truth. And when that comes, he will guide you into all truth. And that is the job of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Father has called him to do, or her to do, depending on how you look at that. And he will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. And that just reminds me so much of prophecy, because as you move into the prophetic, as Jehu Ministry does, and we are by no means perfect, but we try to hear what the Lord says, and we only speak what we hear him say. And sometimes we joke, because sometimes we don't hear him say anything, and we stand up and we see somebody and we see something in that person. And we have just a quick phrase. I had, when we were out in Montana ministering, and we had such a wonderful time doing that. An example would be, I saw a young man sitting in the back. And again, the Lord speaks to everybody differently. You do not have to copy anybody. Don't try to copy anyone. Do not pick up phrases that somebody says and use those for your own. But I saw this young man, and I see a lot of things in movies. My problem is, a lot of times people have never seen the movies I've seen. So, but my first thing, I went back to him and I said, "What I see is as in the movie A Christmas Story, where the young guys were daring each other to put their tongue on a frozen pole." This young man hadn't seen it, but I let him know, because I said, because they said, "I double dog dare you, then I triple dog dare you." the ultimate triple dog dare. And I looked at this guy and I said, this is what I hear you saying. That you're saying to me, I triple dog dare you to come back and prophesy over me. And I commenced to prophesy over him. I got no reaction whatsoever. He had wraparound sunglasses and just sat there. And I saw several things, and I declared several things over him, and no reaction whatsoever. That's okay. I don't do it to get people's reaction, though sometimes it makes it easier to understand where you're going. Excuse me. But later on, his father came up and thanked me. He says those words were very pointed to him. And you have to understand that, you know, God gives you the words. It's not something you make up. And, you know, the trouble is if you try to make up your own words, if you try to say nice things about people, and there are some people who think they're prophesying by saying, gee, you're a swell person, and you really, what a sweet disposition you have, and you look so wonderful, and, you know, God really loves you and stuff. That's good. But that is reading somebody a Hallmark card. And a lot of people read Hallmark cards, and they do not have the Spirit of God behind them, and you need the Spirit of God. And you have to rely on the Holy Spirit all the time. So pick up back here, it says, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That is such an important part of prophecy. Some people are very strong in that. Some people minister out of a spirit for government, for, you know, political people. Jehu ministry, we very much on a personal basis of an individual, and we speak to the individual. And to say what is going to come, that affirms to the individual that is God speaking and not just you, that he has something for you to hear, and he will drop a phrase, he will drop a word, he will drop an experience in there. And as the one prophesying, whether you're a prophet or one who prophesies, it will sometimes amaze you because you have no idea what you're saying. And we ran into that an awful lot up in Montana, where we spoke over people and had no idea what we were saying. There was one instance where I heard from my daughter up there that somebody we had prophesied over said one of us, and I don't know who it was, spoke something over them, that person, of something that was hidden, and he'd never discussed it with anyone. But the Lord wanted him to know, this is me. I'm talking to you. It's not Gary, it's not Greg, it's not Ed, it's not Terry. It's me, and I'm just using them. And that is such a privilege. To have the Lord trust you to do that and not get into add-ons. Because we all have that urge, you know, we get in this flow and we start putting our own flesh in it. And that's not what the Father wants. The Father may have just several words and put them like that. But, you know, he says he will tell you that, you know, what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I send the Spirit and will take from what is mine and make it known to you. That is prophecy. That is how the Father makes, through the Holy Spirit, through his church, through individuals, known to people. And he brings glory to God. And It's hard to explain. First of all, and this may just be me, that the feeling that God trusts you with what he wants to say to somebody else is, I'm sure, far blessed more than anybody that I've ever prophesied to. And I think the others feel the same way, that it is such a blessing to be used and to use words of affirmation. And it's very important that, you know, these words that you use, their affirmation, are words of truth. And we've discussed before that, you know, we don't go into a person's background, into his failings, into his sins that have been forgiven, because the Father remembers them no more. We talked about the reason for New Testament prophecy is to strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort. And that's what you need to be aware of. If your words are going outside that realm, unless the Father has specifically called you to that, don't do it. Sometimes your flesh wants to, you know, go that direction. Sometimes you may know somebody's background, and it is so much easier to prophesy for somebody you don't know, you've never had, you know, any relation with. We're seeing, and every once in a while we run into somebody and we go, my goodness, you know, I know what you did, and then try to prophesy over that person and put your flesh on them. And the Lord's faithful. He will work through you. He will talk to you. And again, I recommend this book, The God Connection. It's amazing how God talks to all of us. And one of the examples I want to give you is, there was a young lady that we prophesied to, and they recorded our Sunday morning message that we gave up there where Terry and Ed spoke, and then we started prophesying. And the very first young lady that we talked to, three of us prophesied to her. And so I said, okay, how many words of affirmation, how many words of truth to comfort, to build up, that, you know, to edify her? How many words did she receive as we talked to her? And again, we all talk differently. We all talk from a different perspective. And I sat there and in a matter of, I want to say, less than 5 minutes, she had over 20 words of affirmation put over her, that she was righteous, and she was holy, and she hadn't messed up. And to the area where this is God speaking, she was told, you are unevenly yoked in her marriage, but God was going to correct that, to watch for him to correct that. And that spoke to her. All of that spoke to her. We would not have known, you know, that she was felt unevenly yoked. We spoke to her that she was a good mother, that she hadn't failed as a young woman. She continually just nodded her head yes, but over 20 words of affirmation. And that's what the Father wants us to do as prophetic people, to affirm people, to speak the truth of God to them. And it's encouraging when you see someone who's, you know, so blessed that you can, you know, the Holy Spirit can weave through vessels like ourselves to reach out and touch someone for the Lord. And it pleases God that we do that. And again, there is no qualification other than you receive that gift and you speak that gift and you develop that gift. And yes, sometimes it takes time. It takes, you will make mistakes, but you're not a false prophet. If you make a mistake, you own it and you let it go by that. But if you start using other spirits behind it, hopefully you have enough people around you to correct you and to tell you, that just wasn't handled correctly. And then you take responsibility for that. But God is trying to talk to his people about their identity. And it is so important that we understand our true identity. And I can speak for my own self. And before I came to know the Lord, you know, I felt like no one loved me. No one will ever love me. What was the point of being alive? I'm never going to be anything. I'll never do anything, which is a wonderful attitude to carry through life. And I felt that way. And as I said, you know, in my example, God sort of pushed me into the prophetic. He showed it to me. I had no idea when I gave my example of, you know, last week about being up in that church in Vermont, what was going on with the pastor. I had no idea. I've had other instances in my life where I had no idea, but I had to do something about it. And it turned out to be true because God wants to take you and use you in situations where you can speak truth to them. And sometimes the truth, you know, you may think that God speaking his truth is a hard thing to do. But in reality, because God does everything in absolute love, it is not hard to do. If you look at it from that perspective. And the reason that he wants us to speak to identity is that when you believe a false identity of yourself, when anyone believes a false identity of themselves, they are separating them in their mind from God, that God made a mistake. And I don't know how many times I've heard one of us prophesy, God didn't make a mistake with you. And it's not just a catchphrase. It's, you know, something God wants that person to know. And it is not new. Attacking your identity is not new. Satan attacks our identity because he wants us to be separated in our own minds. Though God will not separate from us. He has never separated from us, but he wants us to believe that. And it goes all the way back into the garden, into Genesis, and where he says to Eve, is it true that you won't be? He's trying to change that identity between Adam and Eve and the Father. And it goes through. And you see it very strongly when Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. What does the adversary do? He comes to Jesus and he says, if you be the Son of God, which is basically saying, you're not the Son of God. And then tried to make him do something to prove it. And Jesus would not take the bait. And he just says, no, no, no. And lets it go at that. But it's always an attack on identity. And right now, as a people, there's a tremendous attack on the identity of not just believers, but mankind that is going on. And it is nothing new. It is, like I said, it has come from the very beginning of time. It is an old way of doing things, but the devil is not creative. He uses the same thing over and over again. And I'll let you decide that if he does the same thing over and over again, you fall for it more than once. There's things in your life that you've fallen for more than once. That doesn't mean God's love cannot cover that. And the devil will continue to attack our identity in Christ. And you see it, you know, it starts off, there was an attack on, you know, child in the womb, Roe versus Wade. that that's not really a child. Hacking the identity of a baby, that is nothing new. It goes back before Christ that children were attacked, that they weren't as valuable. They weren't created in the image and likeness of God. And that's where we, that is truth. We are created in the image of likeness of God. And you see back in Genesis where he talks about, and again, I'm not going to get into who he's talking to, but he says, let us make man and in our own image. And it said, so then God says he made man and woman in his own image. In the image of God, he made them, not in the group of people that he was talking to. And that wasn't the Trinity, but he was talking to them, and he made them in his own image. And there is no separation. If you read the verse there, there is no separation between man and woman. He calls them. They're included. Women are included much into the image of God as men are. Some people don't believe that. There's different roles in different areas, but it doesn't negate how precious the woman was to God, because he created her in his image, the same way he created Adam into his. But today we go on and we see other attacks that on to what is your image? Who are you like? And we're really in a free-for-all right now of images. Like I mentioned, starting with abortion of babies. And you can go into marriage. You know, a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. That is not in the image of God. The marriage of a man and a woman is an example of Christ in his church. And if you're trying to skew that image, you're speaking out of a spirit that is not of God. And that is as old as time. It has always gone on. If you want to read some books on that, Rabbi Kahn has one called The Return of the Gods. If you want to read it, he draws the parallels of ancient Babylonian and ancient traditions or gods or movements of gods and trying to deceive men and how he did it. And you see it unfolding exactly. And it's strange, some of the parallels, and I won't go into all the parallels, but it is strange. One of the biggest things that we're facing today is the image of being a male or a female. And again, God created man, and he created woman, and he created them to be as they are. And there is such a pull on the individual to make them think that they can decide what they're going to be and who they are. Well, it was decided from the foundations of the earth who you are. And there are men and there are women. And I talked to my granddaughter who goes to high school here, and she said she knows so many girls that think they're lesbians in high school. You know, they probably didn't know what the term was 2 years ago, but now they're sure they are. Or somebody that, you know, thinks I was a boy, or I want to be a girl. I was a girl, I want to be a boy. And it is such a distortion of the creation, because there's only two genders. Yes, I said there's only two genders. And, you know, if that's going to offend anyone that listens to this, so be it. But but the thing that caught me, that came to my mind, is at this point we're giving young boys and girls, and I can think back when I was 11, 12 years old, and hormones were hitting me. And I was confused just because hormones were hitting me. And it happens to every one of us. And it is something that through loving parents and a faithful God, you know, works those things through you as your body adjusts. But today we're giving hormone blockers. And the thing that gets me is they call it gender affirming surgery. I can change the truth by, let's just say, mutilating a young girl or a young boy's body. I can change the truth and say, see, I can make this truth. And that is a hideous lie. And it's trying to destroy that person's image of themselves, because they get someplace where it's very hard to get back, especially when you go through that example. I want to read 1 John for you. And it's not one thing that you all know. And it starts John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. See, Jesus is the word of affirmation to a world that is lost in a lie. He is the word, capital W, that speaks to a lost and dying world. It says, this is who you are. This is who I created you to be. This is who I want you to be. And this is the way, and walk in it. And we'll go back to Genesis real quick again. And I'll go to Genesis 1:26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over the earth and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. We are in the image of God. He created him. He created them male and female and created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. God created man and woman. That is such a word of affirmation that is being attacked so drastically today. One of the identities that the world is trying to change and destroy, but that is why prophecy is so important to the body of Christ, because we get bombarded with so many lies, so many different things that, you know, draw us away from him, that he says, no, I need you to go to that person, and I need you to speak truth to them. And I will give you words. And one of the things we do, we go, you know, like I said, we have no idea what we're going to say. We walk up on a person and look at them and have no idea what to say. But the Lord will start filling your mouth with his words. And he will fill you with good things. And you have to just be aware when to stop, when the Lord stops speaking, and not get into yourself. And Jesus is the ultimate word of affirmation that you could speak over someone. You could speak over his attributes. You know, you could speak over his works. But he is the ultimate word of affirmation that you could give someone, because he is the ultimate truth. And he will never disappoint. He will never reject you. He will never leave you. He will always be there. And it just, to me, it just points to how important prophecy is. And the church is, you know, in a lot of areas has thrown the prophetic out. But why would you not want to hear what God has to say about you? And he, like I said, he speaks in many different ways. There's some people believe he doesn't speak unless it's written down in chapter and verse. That's one way God speaks to you. But if you read this book, The God Connection, it'll open your eyes to the direction God uses and how he speaks to us and how he loves us and how he cares for us. And prophecy is just a small way of bringing people into the reality of truth that may not truly believe it, because woven in the words of affirmation is the Spirit of God, the true Spirit of God. And it moves upon that person's heart. And whether you see it move or see the reaction, that's not the point. It is not for you to deal with. You deliver a word, you give it to them, and they take that word, and they have to deal with it and either accept it or reject it, because the Holy Spirit will not force himself on anyone, but he will speak to everyone. And so I just want you to be aware of, to desire the prophetic. I want you to be aware that you qualify because of the God that has been placed in you through Jesus Christ, that you are his temple and you are his very being. You are his joy to go out and to speak to the world and to touch people and to move. And that is, I tell you, that is a great honor. And again, it's been messed up and it's been improperly used, but that does not mean that the real thing does not exist. There's counterfeit dollar bills and there's real dollar bills. And the counterfeit ones do not negate the true thing, as the Holy Spirit cannot be negated or thrown out because of false teaching. So I think I'm going to leave it there. My voice is just about shot. You know, is there, again, I ask if there's any questions, if anybody has any questions online or whatever, go ahead and ask, and we'll see what we can do with it. Nope.
How do you hear the voice usually of God, know that it confidently that it's him personally?
A lot of trial and error.
Okay.
And truly it's trial and error. When I first, the example I gave the other day, last Sunday, was it just blurted out of me. I didn't think of it or whatever. I just said it. And it just fell in me and came out. When I first started, I don't necessarily recommend this method, but I was one of those, well, show me in chapter and verse, Lord, what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to say. A lot of times I joke, because there is no chapter and verse for what I think the Lord's saying. Ezekiel, blah, 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 blah. And there's Ezekiel chapter 87. There is no Ezekiel 87, you know. And I just laugh, because I know that's just myself. But I have too many times heard God say through a chapter and verse, and I've shared this story about a woman who was at a conference, and I knew her casually, and I knew the ladies that went with her. And they called me on the phone during, you know, when a break in the conference, when I was in my motel room, and said, you know, we feel she's going to be healed. She has a very severe disease. And I said, okay, I'll pray for her. I said, Lord, do you have something for this woman? And he gave me a chapter and verse. And I looked it up, and it says, this is a woman caught in adultery. I went, I ain't going there. I'm not going to do that. I said, that's coincidence. And then another chapter and verse fell into my mind. I went right to it. And the verse says, and you know, this happened 25 years ago. And the second chapter verse he gave me, he says, this is an admonition to you, O priest. If you do not do what I say, I did not have to go any further. It was one of those times where you don't point out somebody's fault. You don't do it that way. But I felt God wanted me to do this. And I was scared if I didn't. And I was scared if I did. And I took her aside with another lady. And I said, you know, I said, I don't know you that well. We're casual acquaintances. I've prayed for you before, but the Lord wants me to ask you a question. And she goes, go ahead. And I said, how many times have you been unfaithful to your husband? And she broke and said twice.
Oh, wow.
And it was, again, I don't know how she felt, but I felt relieved, you know, but that is not typical. That is not typical, but the Lord made it very clear to me that was it. Other times he has spoken to me. I have, like, he is standing in between my ears and speaks to me, and I hear his voice. And it's not a thought. It's like a ticker tape runs through my brain. That's only happened once or twice. Those are ones I don't question. It's usually not that easy. But typically I have a strong sense. I have an inward sense that this is where I need to go. And sometimes the Lord speaks, like I said, he speaks to me through TV shows and movies. I remember I had one lady, and I looked at her, and I come up with an old Twilight Zone. You know, sing the body electric. And that's all the Lord gave me. So I walk up to her and I said, sing the body electric. And she said, she had no clue what I was talking about. But the Lord slowly unfolded about her body and how the workings of her body were so perfect. And that they are going to come into alignment and she's going to be healed. And I don't know why he does it that way. He uses me. He will use you. He will speak to you so you can understand. Gary, I've watched Gary, and I will praise Gary here publicly. I don't usually do that, especially in private. But Gary has such a keen sense of declarations over someone. He sees, this is right, this is wrong. I declare righteousness over you. And that is what God sees in you, and that is what he's going to do. And, you know, it's not too often I make a declaration over someone, but he does it that way. And he does it surgically, I guess is the best word. And it is so clear, it's like, you know, the administrative part of Gary takes it and says, here's column A. And see all these things? They add up to this. And this is what you are. And that's just the way it is. I can't do it that way. But do not say, God always talks to me through the word, or always, I have to hear the audible. I've never heard the audible word of God. I've never heard with my ears what he says. I've heard in my spirit. And like I said, sometimes it's you know, I shake my head, and it comes to a point where you start to trust that you're hearing the word of God. And he says, my sheep know my voice. And his voice sounds different to each one of us, because God is always the same. He never changes, but the way he does things, he changes all the time. But it's always the same truth. And that's what we need to understand. And if you want to put God in a box and say, you can only speak to me this way, well, he'll speak to you a thousand ways around it, and you'll just wonder why is it so silent? But it's not silent. He is talking to you all the time. You see that if Jesus is the word and God spoke the word, it is God's responsibility to speak to his children his word. It is not my responsibility to work it up in my spirit and go, well, this is the way, you know. I don't need the ABCs of the prophetic or of any other part of what God does, the nuts and bolts of what God does, to trust him. It is a relationship. And in the 48 years my wife and I were married, I could look at her and I could tell her everything she was thinking. And it used to drive her nuts. And it comes out of relationship. It comes out of being around someone. It comes out of seeking, you know, reading the word and understanding it. And just saying, what do you want from me today, Lord? What do you want me to do in this situation? And allow him to speak. Because he will speak. It's his responsibility. And he is faithful. So you get me rambling on that stuff. So.
Oh, that was great.
So. But he is so good. He is so faithful. And I'm learning all the time, mm-hmm. You know, I don't try to confine God. You know, I don't try to, but there's a little phrase in here I want to give you. And it's from Graham Cook, and this is in Bethany Hicks' book. And she's talking about knowing how God speaks. And Graham Cook says, quote, when you do by intention what you've done by intuition, you achieve acceleration. When you do by intention what you've done by intuition, you achieve acceleration. And she goes on to say, I believe you are already intuitively hearing from God. There may be some areas where you aren't aware that he is speaking, but when the light switch is flipped on, you say, ah, and you have no doubt that that is the voice of God speaking to you. You know, the prodigal son came to the father, but before he even saw it, the father was running to him. And the father is running to each one of us and wants us to know, you know, what he wants. He wants us to grow in him, and he wants us to know the truth, because Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the word of affirmation. He is the one who speaks over you, and he is the one that asserts what the truth is. And all the lies of hell will not change who God is and what he thinks of you. Sometimes it takes somebody to jostle your world and to make you see who God truly is and how much he truly loves you. And once you get into that realm, it is joy, it is peace. And you're not going to be perfect, but that day will come. I think the prophetic has been too long ignored, and the church needs to get back and listen to the word of God any way the Lord wants us to be used. So leave it at that. Any other questions, anything, or thoughts? No, we'll leave it at that. You know, I thank you for joining and listening in.